You're listening to Packers Talk Network. Packers Talk.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
Hi, this is Jerry Kramer, and you're listening to The Sweep.
Looked like Aaron Rodgers pulled out a little too quick.
You set me free.
All right, here we go, fellas. Let's have a little fun today.
I feel like we can run the table.
Oh, I have sizzle.
What is going on, Pack Nation? Welcome back to The Sweep. It's good. It feels really good to be back. We are back. Had to dust the mic off a bit, but I'm ready. I'm excited to be back. We've got a lot to talk about. Yes, a lot to talk about in the offseason with the Green Bay Packers. Ted Thompson has actually made some moves.
Oh, I have sizzle.
He's back. We're back. Blaine's back. My man, my co-host. How have you been this offseason and your little bit of a vacation from the mic?
I'm well. You know, it's been a little bit status quo, a little bit up and down with the Packers. You know, Ted Thompson, he's done a little. It's been a little bit more splash than normal. But other than the one big move with Bennett, it's been kind of quiet, and, you know, it seems like there's more pieces that left than came in, but we'll get into that a little bit more. It's good to be back with you, Freddie, and hopefully the audience has missed us and they continue to listen going forward.
Well, I can't imagine that they don't miss us because, I mean...
Well, how can you not?
It was hard. I'm not going to lie. I wanted to do some shows earlier, but I think it's been good that we've been able to kind of make the audience wait a little bit, and now we have all this fun news to talk about, and let's get to it right off the bat. Who the Packers brought in? I know me and you talk all the time outside of the show. There were some losses, but Ted made some moves. Ted made some moves quickly after it was apparent that Jared Cook was not coming in by signing Martellus Bennett and Lance Kendricks. What are your thoughts on those two guys? Do you see them being better than Cook? Do you see them being in just great parts of this offense? Do you think Aaron Rodgers likes it? What do you got on it? Let me know.
Well, I'll start with Cook leaving, I guess. I think as soon as I saw that tweet go out, I can't remember who reported it first. Doesn't really matter. But I read that the contract talks broke down and there's no communication going on. I kind of freaked out a little bit. I'm thinking to myself, what the hell, Ted? Rodgers is going to be pissed. He's the one guy Rodgers wanted back. He specifically said that. He was the top priority. I thought for sure that was the one deal out of the four or five that we kind of had on our radar that would for sure get done.
Yep.
To see that come through, that the talks are breaking down, I'm freaking out. I'm not going to lie. I was a little worried about what Rodgers was going to think about it, what the rest of Pack Nation was going to think about it. Honestly, what I thought about it, I didn't know what to think. And then it was within the hour. Yeah. The news comes out that Bennett's signing. And I think at the time, you and I were talking on Facebook.
Yes.
And I said that he was out there and you had some things to say back, and all of a sudden you posted it on our Facebook chat. I'm like, there's no way, come on. Now the fact that Cook is gone, did Rodgers and him have a connection? Did they have it figured out towards the end of the year? I think so. I think that's really all you lose in Cook is just the experience with Rodgers. Kind of seemed like it took him some time to get over the injury and finally get on the field and build that rapport where Rodgers really trusted him towards the second latter half of the season, I'd say. So that's probably what you lose. But with Bennett coming in, you definitely still have a playmaker. He maybe not be as fast, but he could still stretch the field up the seam. He's a in my opinion, a much better blocker, run and pass, if he doesn't go out in a route. So I think you gain something there. I think Rodgers was excited. I think he was probably disappointed in having the same kind of feelings we were at first. But once he found out Bennett was coming in, everything he tweeted was very, very positive, and he seems excited to get to work with them. So, yeah, I mean, did we lose a little bit of experience in chemistry? Maybe. But I think overall, give him some time, and if as long as Bennett stays healthy like he has pretty much his whole career, I think they'll be fine. I think, if anything, they're better. They definitely, with the Kendrick signing, added depth. Richard Rodgers is probably wondering what the hell his role is going to be, because he's probably not going to be in the red zone anymore. I think Bennett and Kendricks both have the ability to block better in those situations. Some two tight end sets inside the 20-yard line is going to be awesome. I know McCarthy's been wanting that forever, and he finally has it. So he's got to be excited about it. And really, that's all it boils down to. As soon as Rodgers and them and those two guys can get to work, the better, and they'll be on the same page, hopefully faster than Cook and Rodgers were. And I think the biggest thing is the run and pass blocking ability of Bennett, and the fact that he plays. He played every game last year. I think over his career, he's only missed like 9 games total or something like that. It's a really, really low number, so he's reliable. And that's huge. We've never had that before at the tight end position. If we can have that constant, it's going to be a big deal.
I'll be honest. I will confess. We talked on Facebook, like you said.
I wasn't going to call you out. I wasn't going
to
call you out.
I'll do it myself. I'm a man. I'll step to the plate here. But we were talking, and I believe the words I said were, I don't want that fat turd on our team. And then we signed him, literally probably as I typed it, and instantly I became his biggest fan. I had bad thoughts about him. I had this idea that he was just this big, slow, Bubba Franks type tight end that couldn't move and was going to bring a negative attitude, mostly because I was comparing him to his brother. I had a bad feeling.
But I'm gonna quick, just because I think a lot of people had that same persona of him.
Yeah.
That interview that him and his brother did, was it the beginning of last season or the middle of the season before, where they just smashed on everybody? It was more his brother, and he gets a negative persona because of that, I think. And just based off the information that we've gotten since he's been signed, I follow him on Twitter now. The dude is hilarious. Yes. He loves kids. He has his own company, his own animation company. He's a great dude, and I'm happy that he's here. I think he's going to be good for the locker room.
Yes. I think the main thing, and I follow him on Instagram, Twitter, all that stuff. I was like, wow, I had a totally wrong thought of this guy. This guy is hilarious. He's fun. He's exciting. And I don't think he brings a negative attitude. I think he'll loosen up that locker room. I think he'll bring a little bit of spunk and fun to that locker room, which is something that we need. I don't think that we've had that in a while. I can't think of anyone that's been that funny since, I don't know, Tom Crabtree. I mean, he was a pretty funny dude, but...
Yeah, he's probably the goofball, and then probably Brett Favre and, like, the Frankie Winter date. Really, and the goofball you have when to they have, were younger.
You have to have a little bit of that in the locker room, because if you get too serious, you don't have any fun, and it just falls apart. So I think that is... will be one of his best qualities coming into this team, is just his loose ability. And, you know, after watching a lot of film on him, after we signed him, he's not that slow. And, you know, he's not a blazer, but he's not that slow. I don't think he's that much slower than Cook, to be totally honest.
He is a big, big man.
Yeah, he's like 6'6 or something?
6'7, I believe, 270.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, he's a big boy. And
it's like he's big as Eddie Lacy.
Yeah, I don't know about that. That's pushing it. I heard the Seahawks were moving him to guard, but that's neither here nor there. Yeah. Another thing about Bennett is, you know, he was a Bear.
He was a Bear.
He was a Cowboy. He was a Giant, and he was a Patriot. Mm. He's played with some pretty damn good quarterback. I mean, his worst quarterback is probably Jay Cutler. And you know what? I know we rip on Jay Cutler a lot, and I know the Bears fans were happy to see him go, but they, not to get off topic here, but they should probably look at everything overall. He's the best quarterback the Bears have had since they won the Super Bowl in 86. Yep. So be careful what you wish for. Now you have Mike Glennon, and I don't know that that's going to be much better.
And you paid anyway, a shit ton for him.
Yeah. Martellus Bennett, he's played with really good quarterbacks his whole career, and now he might be playing with the best one, arguably, between Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. I mean, whoever you put at the top of that list, I know who I have there. That's obvious. I'm a homer, but come on. Aaron Rodgers is he's the best. And you have a tight end who over the course of the last, I think, 4 or 5 years is a top three tight end in every category there is. Touchdowns, yards, receptions. I mean, it's unbelievable. And the fact that he can play every down, running situation, passing situation, he can run routes, and he can block. I mean, the double tight end set that McCarthy has just been dying for is going to come in to play here. And you know what else that does? It takes a lot of pressure off of guys like Davante Adams and Randall Cobb and Jordy Nelson, and even Ty Montgomery coming out of the backfield. It's a big weight lifted off of the shoulders of those other guys that have been pinnacles of our offense. And it just gives Rodgers another reliable, consistent target who you know is going to be there every week.
Yeah. You add in that situation, like we talked about all year last year with Cook being on the field was the biggest thing. It didn't matter if he had 100 catches. It mattered because defenses had to account for him, and they're going to have to account for Bennett, and they're going to have to account for Kendricks, who I think is a great signing. It's good to bring him home. He's a great depth guy. He will be a sneaker, and I think he'll be someone that ends the season with a few touchdowns because he will be unaccounted for in a lot of plays because teams will be focused so much on Jordy, Davante, Bennett, and Cobb. So I think great signings. It was awesome to see. I think it shocked everyone. That was kind of the pinnacle of what Ted did. I want to talk about one other signing, a re-signing. One that scared the crap out of me when I first saw the numbers. But the Nick Perry deal, you know, am I pumped that we re-signed him? I'm not pumped. I think it was something we kind of almost had to do. But, you know, everyone's talking about, well, he had all these sacks. He had a great year. Yeah, he had a great year. He had a great year. But he also had a great year with Clay Matthews on the other side. We discussed it a lot last year. Yep. And that when Clay was gone, he was completely gone. He did not even make a freaking move. So that really concerns me because I'm not sure exactly what we're getting. And with the contract deal, you know, it looks really scary. He has a very large signing bonus, but his base salaries are really low at the first two and even third year, with $1.3 million, $1.9 million, and $5.2 million. Then they jump drastically to $9.6 and $9.4 million, which I don't think he'll get to. By that point, it'll be restructured or he will be gone. So it's a little bit of money up front, but it's not a lot going into the future, and it's not really a huge cap hit. It's a little bit, but not too bad. What do you think about it? I know we talked a lot about Perry last year. Are you excited about it? Or do you think we overpaid and we might have missed it?
I'm not excited. And people that know me, people I talk to, you, other guys kind of in my inner circle that I talk about the Packers to on a regular basis know how I feel. I'm not a big Nick Perry fan. I've never been. I probably never will be. He is very inconsistent. He has a bad injury past. He shows up when Clay plays, and that's about it. We can beat all of that with a dead horse. Ted, you know, he did what he had to do. I agree with you on the fact that it's not something that excites me, but it was something that probably had to be done because there wasn't a whole lot out there that we thought Ted was going to do at the edge rush position as far as outside linebacker at the end. It just, there's the guys that were out there wanted top freaking dollar, like the highest contracts ever for that position. And Ted's not going to do that. He just doesn't do it. He's a bargain shopper. He doesn't overpay. He won't overpay. He won't even come close to some of the numbers that these guys are asking for. That being said, total money-wise, the Nick Perry deal is one of the biggest free agent deals ever. It's top 10. And that, you know, I know it's not a big cap hit, and that's ultimately what matters year to year, but we overpaid. They gave him too much money for what he is and what he's done. Okay. In my opinion, he hasn't earned that deal. Now, Ted Thompson, he structured the contract as good as you could do it. He's got an out, and you're 100% correct. I don't think he sees the 2019 season in Green Bay under this deal. I think he's got the first 2 years to kind of prove it, and if he's in the 15 sack range the next 2 years, maybe they keep it, and then he would have earned it. But I think they gave him too long of a deal with too much guaranteed money up front. But that being said, Ted had to. His hands were kind of tied there. There's nobody else to go get, and the money's got to go somewhere.
Yeah, I'm not excited about it. I'm not a Nick Perry fan. I was excited about the way he played last year. I got a little caught up in it, like I think a lot of people did. But you're right. He has never played a full season. And
he didn't last year either.
So to give somebody that kind of money, you either give someone that kind of money to A, pay for what they have done, or B, pay for what they are going to do. I don't see either of those for Nick Perry because he has not done anything, and I'm not really sure he can do anything. So we'll see, like you said. Now, if he comes out and he kills it and the money is well earned, then touche. But I don't see it, and I see him probably getting injured, and he sits on the sideline for $20 million.
Yeah, and you know, it's just convenient, and it happens a lot. It's not just Nick Perry. It's a lot of guys throughout the league and the Packers. All of a sudden, it's a contract year, and these guys are playing through injuries that they would never play through before.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, his hand was messed up. Would he have played the last three or four games with a club on had he not been in a contract year? Like this year, if he breaks that hand again and has the surgery and he could play with a club, does he play?
No.
Exactly. You know, that's what's frustrating about all of this. It's, you know, these guys show up in contract years and then they get paid and they just kind of fizzle out. And that's kind of what I figure is going to happen. I hope I'm wrong. I really do, because I love the Packers. I want the defense to come back strong. I want them to do well. I'm behind Nick Perry. I'm just not a big fan of him. You know, I'm not going to buy his jersey.
No. But hot tip secret here on fantasy football, always look for guys in their contract year because I'll guarantee they're going to put up numbers. Yep. So a couple other signings. Another signing that I think kind of had to be done, we bring back Devon House, the apparent savior of this defense and secondary. No, he's not, and I think we all kind of understand that. There's obviously some fans out there who get a little too excited about it, but you know what? He's a guy that we brought back for pretty minimal dollars, and you know he knows the system. It's a depth situation. It's not a guy to put in as our first or our second. He's there for depth because currently we don't have a ton of depth. One other thing that I need to say, and I want to say on this show because I've talked to a lot of people about it, and they don't really understand, is there's no need necessarily right now for us to overreact and freak out about our secondary. I understand that last year's play was just atrocious. There's no denying it. But last year we were also riddled with injuries. We lost our number one right off the bat with Sam Shields, which thrusted two second-year players into the number one and two spot, who we had extreme expectations going into their second year. They had been injured. They were injured for most of the season, if not all the season. I get it. There was still time that they were a little healthy and stuff like that, but that's a huge role to take on. Gunter, having been our fourth corner, potentially our fifth, moving in and having to play as the number one was tough. All right, we all know that was tough to watch. It wasn't the best thing, but the dude did good. He did pretty damn good for what he what he has and what he got to work with. So, listen, we're going to enter this year with Devon House coming back as a depth. Gunter having an incredible year of experience. No, he's not the best corner in the game right now, but he moves himself clearly from a 4 or 5 to a 2 or 3, I think, with what he did in his experience. And then we bring back Rollins, who will be healthy, and I think he can kind of assume his role again. And then Randall again, too. I mean, there's no way that both of them regress again. I just can't see it. So right there, you're looking at four decent corners. I'm not going to say great. I'm not going to say really good in the sense right now. But four very decent corners with the potential to be good. And then you have to imagine that Ted will go in the draft and get somebody since nobody's left in free agency, really.
So all of that being said, I have one question for you.
I knew something. Yep.
Who's our number one corner?
Randall.
Really?
I think on the depth chart, you're putting Randall at number one. Is he really the number one? Probably not, which is why I think it's important to consider going after a free agent, which there's not really anyone left, which sucks.
That's, I think, the biggest disappointment about this last two-week period of time is you have guys out there. And I know it. Everybody, I make this comparison all the time, and everybody's like, well, the Patriots are the Patriots, and you can't compare. Yes. Why not?
That's true.
We are doing a podcast right now on the greatest franchise in the history of sports, in my opinion.
Amen.
If not in the history of sports, in the history of the NFL, to say the least. Don't tell me that we can't compare the Green Bay Packers to the New England Patriots. Yes, we can. We are overall, we're a better franchise. We're a better organization. We should have expectations that are at least what the Patriots do, if not higher. Now,
yes.
Ted's a freaking wizard. You call him that all the time. Why can Bill Belichick make all of these moves after winning a Super Bowl to go pay the second highest paid corner in the league in free agency this year in Gilmore? And Ted can't even go get a freaking second tier corner. Tell me why.
I think, and this is my only reason for this, and you know what? You're right on a lot of points. Is that New England knows that they're going to lose Butler.
But they're doing that by their own choice.
Right, but they know they're going to lose their number one, so they have to sign a number one.
We don't have a number one.
But Ted doesn't know that. That's the problem, is that I think Ted doesn't believe that. Ted believes we have a number one.
And that's why... That's why Ted and I have the relationship that we have.
I know, it's salty and it hurts, but I think that's true. Honestly, God, I think that's the reason. I don't think that if Butler leaves, New England doesn't go after Gilmore.
He's not going yet. There's no way. He's under contract for one more year. It's possible that they'll go in with the best corner tandem in the league.
Then Ted fucked up, I think, because then they have ridiculousness. The only thing I can hope for is that Ted makes a free agent signing for a corner. I don't know who's left. Revis would be fantastic. I think that'd be a really smart decision. Because you're bringing in a veteran who obviously has great potential and likes to play man-to-man, and that's what we do. But otherwise, you're obviously going to go into the draft and get someone, but I don't like the idea of drafting a guy expected to be a number one because that's so much fucking pressure.
Yeah, I agree. Agree 100%.
So the only other scenario
I see, Fred, is that they start House on the outside and they slide either Randall or Rollins down to be that Micah Hyde type player when in covering the slot, because I think Rollins he's better in the slot.
I agree. I think they're honestly both better in the slot, but Rollins, right, I think is much more of a slot. Randall can play outside. I think, I just feel like his groin really hindered him last year.
And that's fine.
He also made just dumb, stupid mistakes that can't be attributed to the groin.
Right.
Just coverage mistakes. So there's something there that was an issue. But
if I'm protecting our one right now, I'm going to say it's Gunther. Because
you're probably right.
He was the one at the end of the year last year, and he's done I mean, we haven't played a game since, so how did he lose his, how did he lose it?
True.
I mean, that's probably the most athletic one out of the group.
Yes. He's got the best size and everything like that, so.
Size and speed-wise, he's our best corner. And yes. Our size and speed-wise, our second best corner is probably House.
Okay, so let me ask you this. If we have House, if we have our current lineup and say we don't get anyone in free agency, we draft a first-round corner and then say maybe a third or fourth, and they're guys that you really like, are you okay? Or are you still scared shitless and pissed?
I won't be scared shitless. I'm telling you right now, if they draft a corner in the first round, he will see significant snaps from day one. And oh, yeah. He's going to have to. Will I be scared? No. But I've said this in many episodes in the past, and I'm going to say it again. First and second year players don't win you Super Bowls. Those are pieces. You need veteran leadership, which there is none on this team, except for maybe Martellus Bennett, which you don't really know what you have in a leader there because we don't really know anything about the guy except for that he's funny and he's good at football. Now, can he be that vocal leader? Can he bring that team up? We don't know. You want to say Daniels on defense, but he can only do so much with his emotion and his vicious talk. Is he a great player? Yeah, but he's an interior D lineman. How much impact on a game can an interior D lineman in the 3-4 defense really have? He's there to eat up a double team and free up your linebackers. You have a pass rusher in Clay who's not a leader. He's just not that vocal guy. He's not going to corral the defense like a Chuck Woodson did. Now, one major part of our defense that is going to be very, very important is the development and the leadership skills of HaHa Clinton Dix.
Yeah,
because I think he needs to take a big step forward in that leadership role. He's been here for what? This will be his fourth season.
That's the time. That's when it's no more. You got to step to the plate and you have to be that guy. I'm going to just quick touch on a couple other signings and then we'll talk about some of the people we lost and let everyone know that it's not too bad. It's a little rough, but it's not too bad. So we also brought back Jordan Tripp. We re-signed J-Rone Jelly Elliott, who I know me and you are big on. I think he's going to have a big year. I think you guys we're going to know that name. That's going to be a very popular name come the end of the year. We also re-signed Don Barclay, who up for discussion on that one. I would have taken Treader a million thousand times more. And Ted started off free agency by re-signing a punter, so...
Oh, I have sizzle.
When I saw that, I put my Ted Thompson shirt on and wore it proudly because that was just touche. Touche to Ted for doing that. One other quick point, we only have... How many more weeks of free agency do we have left?
Well, the draft is in 37 days.
Okay, so we have a few weeks. We signed Charles Woodson with only... I think a week and a half or 2 weeks before free agency.
And that you know what that move is? You know what move, you know, even if they sign a guy in free agency, they have to draft one in the first or second round at a corner. The move is Revis.
It's got to be. I feel the same way. I feel like for some reason, if you would have told me that a year ago or half a year ago, I would have laughed in your face. But I think it makes sense. I think it works. The last time that Revis was a free agent, he actually met with Green Bay and they were a potential suitor. Which, to be totally honest, I didn't really know. But he just, it all the pieces fit. And it would be a veteran guy. It would be, like I said, a man-to-man guy. It would just add that confidence, I think, and name to the secondary to give us a little bit more of a better feeling about the situation. And I think it makes total sense. I think Thompson is actually going to do it. I feel like he could do it. So let's hope and pray that he does. We have what? 24. We have 24.7 million remaining in cap after, I believe, today. So there's still money to go. And I don't think that Revis can really expect to get a top contract. I think
no, he can, you know what? He doesn't need it. He doesn't need it because you know what's going to happen is he's gonna strike a deal, and whatever team signs him isn't going to pay him more than $6 million, because if he gets paid more than $6 million, the Jets are off the hook for the $6.3 million they owe him.
Right.
Unfortunately, I know a little bit of the details because I've looked into this and I've gotten my hopes up a little bit, probably too much, on Ted making this move. But you're right, it 100% makes sense. There's not a better guy out there to bring in that plays the style of cornerback play that we do here. And he does it. He'd be perfect for these young guys. Sam Shields developed into a number one corner and got a number one corner deal. And guess who he had as a mentor for a few years before he got that deal? None other than one of the greatest ever to do it, in Charles Woodson. Yeah, you know, I mean, we all kind of freaked out when Woodson left because we thought we were going to miss him that much. And Sammy Shields was just waiting in the wings right there. I mean, I know Charles was playing a little bit more safety than corner, but you cannot tell me that they didn't exchange technique and style and just little pointers in the film room.
Little cheats that you can figure out. You can tell when a guy's doing this, he's going to go that way.
Well, and Revis has covered everybody in the league. So he knows what everybody's going to do. He knows their first. He knows their second. He probably knows their third move off the line. So you cannot replace that experience. And I guess that's kind of what I'm talking about when I say first and second year players aren't going to win you a Super Bowl. They're just pieces of that. You need veterans. You need guys that have seen it all. Maybe not even all, but a lot of it. You know, the guys that have the experience against the same guys that they're going to be lining up against 16 weeks out of the year. And it makes a huge difference. It changes the game when you have a guy that can tell you, hey, watch out for this, this, and this, because this is what he does. And Darrelle Revis, like we both said, it makes the most sense to me. And money-wise, we have it. You can't keep it all, and there's no point in saving a lot of cap space. Now, that being said as well, I know I mentioned it to you earlier today when we were talking. There's a list of at least four or five guys coming up for contract after the 2017 season, starting with Davante Adams and Morgan Burnett and Corey Linsley and Taylor. You know, those guys are all going to need to be re-signed, and maybe Ted's saving some of that room to get deals done with one or two of those guys early, which, if that's the case, smart move by Ted. But we still have room to sign one or two
still,
more guys.
There's still some money left. So he's got to – I mean, he's so great when it comes to re-signing guys and making sure that the right ones are there, which brings us basically to who we lost. In total, we lost TJ Lang, Micah Hyde, Eddie Lacy, Julius Peppers, JC Treader, and Dayton Jones. That's a scary, it sounds really scary when I say it, but you know what? Let's just review quickly. You know, the Dayton Jones thing.
See ya.
Big deal. You didn't do shit for first round. He's a huge bust. You can probably put him up there with some of the bigger busts. You look at Julius Peppers. Thank you, but we all knew you were going to be done. I don't think any of us actually really truly expected him to come back to Green Bay. You know, he did some great things for us, and we gave him a lot of money. So, you know, good luck to him. I'm glad that he went to Carolina to kind of finish off his thing. I think that's cool. So best of luck to him. Eddie Lacy, you fat, fat turd. I don't even care. Go to Seattle. Eat your way into a balloon, and good luck. I hope that he doesn't actually get on track and do really well. They gave him a one-year deal, right?
To be honest, I didn't even look at it.
I'm pretty sure it's a one-year deal, which is the only reason that's a little scary, but I've never been a fan of Eddie Lacy. I just don't think he has it in him. I don't think he has the heart. I don't think he has the drive to be a true football player. I think he went somewhere to get some money, and he'll probably have a half a good season and then try to go again with someone else. But I know that you've always liked Eddie Lacy. I hate him.
I love him. I mean, when he's healthy and he's on and he can get the ball consistently, he was a workhorse. He was that guy that if you needed to, and he's healthy, you could give him the ball 25 to 30 times a game if you had to. He proved it the year Rodgers got hurt. He carried us to the playoffs. Now, that being said, I was a little disappointed to see him go. And then I saw the contract and I saw the bonuses for the weight. And I saw what he weighed in at in Green Bay when he came back. And I'm thinking to myself, Jesus Christ, that's it. I'm done with you. I don't care. I loved you when you were here, but now you're with Seattle. So you're out of my circle, you know?
He's kind of like one of those, he's like one of those people that you come across in your life that you see that has just all this potential to do something, but they just don't care and they just waste it. Right. And that's how I feel with him, is that when he's on and he's running and he's in it, he's fantastic. I mean, he's Earl Campbell. He's Walter Payton. He's all that. I mean, he can be amazing.
Yep.
But you don't get it. He doesn't care. If he worked a little harder and really cared, he could be one of the best running backs to ever play. But he doesn't care. And that's why he gets injured and he goes in the offseason and he eats his way to 300 pounds.
Yeah, I think a lot of his deal is if he wasn't getting the ball early and often, he got disinterested in the game.
You're probably right.
And it was almost like every game was two games. It was the first half and the second half. And if he didn't get the ball early and often in the first half, well, you don't expect him just to get hot all of a sudden in the middle of the first quarter or the second quarter. He's going to have to go reset himself in the locker room at halftime. And if he doesn't get the ball early and often in the third quarter, you're probably not going to see much. Now, there's been some games where we had some leads and all of a sudden he would get the ball a bunch in the fourth quarter. And once in a while, he would run some clock out. But that wasn't usually how it would happen. It was either he started off hot and stayed hot when he got the ball. And a lot of that kind of goes to McCarthy, I think. Now, obviously, we're a pass-first offense. That probably didn't make Eddie Lacy very happy. I understand that. But when you have a contract that you're getting $500,000 bonuses every quarter of your contract based off of your weight, and you need that much incentive to be in shape for your football team, you don't deserve a spot on the Packers. And McCarthy and Ted Thompson aren't going to put up with that. So good riddance, Eddie. See you later.
Boom. There you go. The next three, I was a little bummed about. J.C. Treader, that sucked because I think J.C. Treader is the awesome, awesome part of a football team. He's a Swiss Army knife. He can play any position. I think you lose an incredible amount of depth with one player, and I think that could come back to bite us in the ass. But the one good thing is that Ted is really good at drafting offensive linemen, so hopefully he can pick someone up in the draft that will be similar to him. But, you know, I think with Treader, people say, well, why didn't we sign him? Why couldn't we give him more money? Whatever. To me, truthfully, I think that Treader went to Cleveland because Treader will get to be the main guy, the starting. He won't be the main guy because they have a great offensive line now. But I think that he gets that opportunity to be the no-doubt starter, where he wasn't always the no-doubt starter here. It seemed like he'd get moved in here and there when someone was hurt or injured, where he can go to Cleveland and have a little bit more job security and know that that is his position. Which in that case, you know, I wish him the best and I hope the best for him. I just wish we would have been able to maybe offer him a little bit more money and a little bit more security in his position.
Yeah, I agree. I think out of all the guys that left, Treader's the first guy the most concerning guy that we lost. And for the exact reason you said is the depth. I mean, he started the first half of the season at center. He got hurt. Luckily that week, Lindsley came back. Well, when Lindsley came back, he played great. So when Treader could come back, he kind of lost his job to injury. I mean, those two guys have kind of been back and forth with injury, and we've been lucky that we had them both. Also, Treader could play guard. And, you know, we both kind of thought Lang was going to go just because of the money situation. And we know how Ted is when it comes to paying offensive linemen in their third, second, or his third or fourth contract. Usually that's about when he lets him walk. But yeah, I think Treader was the big one that we lost. And once he was gone, the next biggest one was Lang, because out of Don Barclay, Treader, and Lang, you tell me that you're going to sign one of those three, I would have said there's no way the one that you sign is Barclay. But then the more and more you think about it and you look at Ted's history, we probably should have expected something like that, because he does things like that, and that's what he does. I think that the fact that Treader got signed, or the word was out that he was going to sign with the Browns so early, kind of hurt our chances of TJ Lang coming back. I think that just drove the price up on him. And I think the Packers underestimated the market for a good guard, which I don't know that I blame them, because interior offensive linemen, and especially the guard position, I don't want to say they're a dime a dozen, because they're probably not that easy of a commodity to come across at the all-pro level. But let's be honest, they're guards, and we can probably plug and play a couple of guys there. Who knows, maybe Spriggs plays there. I heard rumors that there might be talks of moving Balaga to guard and having Spriggs play tackle. I think they're pretty high on Marshall coming up. And who
but
knows,
you know
maybe,
what?
Maybe Balaga, they know something about Barclay.
Balaga is just a beast at right tackle, and I think that they got to keep him there. Spriggs subbed in a little bit at guard during the season, I believe. I want to say it was during the Cowboys game. I might be wrong, but you know, he did great. I think Spriggs has an incredible ceiling for potential. I just don't know maybe if he's totally ready right now. But I think he's someone that you're going to end up seeing for the next, you know, 5-7 years. And I said that even last year, but
right.
Yeah, try
but
to
know. I don't think that you, and maybe this is what Ted's thinking. Maybe you just, it's a plug and play position all year. Maybe you start two or three different guys there, and it's not a consistent guy. Now, do I like that? No, because I like having the offensive line. Have a consistent starting lineup and get some continuity, know what the other guy's going to do. But you know what? The Packers have done pretty good with that, plugging and playing guys in when guys got hurt. Guys would go down during the game. Guys, you know, it is what it is, and there's not much you can do about it at this point. I don't know that there's anybody out there. I know we talked about Mangold possibly getting signed. He hasn't signed anywhere yet, has he?
Nope. He's someone that I think would be fantastic to bring in. And again, an incredible leader.
Depending on the money, because, you know, Lang got a lot of money in Detroit, and I don't blame the guy for getting it. It's probably his last contract.
Yep.
And it's home for him. So good for him. Good luck. We're going to miss him. I think it sucks that we're going to have to play him twice a year. But again, it's a guard. And for those people that, not to get ahead of ourselves with the draft, those people that think that we're going to draft a guard in the first round, if that happens, I'm going to be furious. You cannot pick a guard.
If we draft an offensive lineman, ladies and gentlemen, Blaine will freak the frick out and probably start smashing stuff, and I'll be there to show it. I will tape it on my phone, and we will put it on the sweet page on Facebook, I promise.
The dude from Western Kentucky or whatever, Forrest Lamp, I saw a mock draft that had him getting picked in the first round by Green Bay. If that happens...
Who did the mock draft?
I can't remember. I think it was CBS.
Well, see, here's the thing with mock drafts, though, is that you get one, but then you have to do another one, and you have to do another one, and then you just got to start looking for shit to, you know, to excite fans, and you start putting those in there. That's why I've seen mock drafts of us taking wide receivers first round, offensive linemen. I mean, you just eventually people do it just to kind of get a buzz going. There's no way that Ted doesn't go first round with one of the obvious needs in either corner, edge rusher. You could say running back.
I'll throw safety in there.
Defensive line. Basically anywhere on the defense.
Yeah.
And then offensively, running back, I could see maybe first round if someone someone's just there that's too good to pass up. But you know,
to be honest, I think the only guy that you could pick there is McCaffrey, and I think he'll be gone. But let's not.
And I really don't think McCaffrey's any different than freaking Ty Montgomery. So you're basically getting the same thing. And what's the point of that? And there's so many good running backs late in rounds, and running backs are you know, they're not drafted in the first as much. And I think McCaffrey, honestly, I don't know if I think he does maybe slip out of the first round only because they're just whatever, but he could go earlier because of his pass catching ability and his return ability. He's so dynamic. But to move on, we kind of hit on TJ Lang. Obviously, I agree completely. You know, he went and he got his retirement money, and he is at home. And it is what it is. You know, a lot of us said that we were going to struggle without Sitton, and that worked out pretty well. So Ted is a genius when it comes to the offensive line. It's one of the positions that I have so much trust in him with, because he's been able to assemble offensive line, good to great offensive line play with a lot of fourth and fifth and sixth and third round guys. For very minimal money. So he's very good at that, because offensive linemen can get quite expensive. So I think he's done a pretty dang good job of putting together a good offensive line at minimal dollar to protect the greatest of all time. So, but the other guy that we missed out on, and this one is the one that just befuddles me, because we didn't even offer an offer to him. Micah Hyde, who... last year, I started out writing for someone. It was not Pack to the Future, so sorry, guys. But and one of the pieces was how I thought that Micah Hyde was going to be the best player on the Packers team in 2016. I thought he did great. I thought he had a fantastic season. But I just his versatility and his ability to play multiple positions, and his just everything that he does on the defense. I love him. I love what he does, and I like the fact that he kind of plays that hybrid position. And if you've listened to the shows prior, you know that I am a huge fan of the hybrid position. So, like you just said, a safety potentially in the draft, I think that now becomes much more of a concern and much more of a necessity, because do we have good safeties? Yeah, we have fantastic safeties. We have HaHa and Morgan Burnett, but that's it. Nothing else after that. So yeah, we're going to need...
Yep. The next 2 seasons, they're both up for a contract. So right.
And HaHa comes back, and you got to look at Burnett as potentially having to walk, because he's at that age where it is. So you're going to have to not only sign someone who needs to play now, but someone that's going to eventually slide into Burnett's position. Yep. So that is definitely a huge need. But as for him leaving, I'm just surprised we didn't give him an offer. Are you surprised that we didn't?
You know, that whole Micah Hyde situation, for me, it's hard to evaluate, because he played a lot of plays, you know. I mean, he played, what did I read somewhere? I think it was like 83% of all the defensive snaps last year.
Yeah.
Which, when you think about that, he's not a starting safety, and he's not a starting corner, and he played that much. Now, he's kind of in the same situation as Treader was. You know, he's probably going to get an opportunity to start in Buffalo.
Yes.
They lost a lot of their DBs to free agency. And he's going to be competing for a starting spot. He probably would have never had that opportunity here, not in the next year or two.
That's exactly when people have asked me about the Hyde situation, the Treader situation, that's the exact reason, is I believe – truthfully, that both of them wanted to go and be starters, and they weren't going to have that position here. And Micah Hyde can go from, you know, someone who we all loved and thought was great, but he was like, you know, that guy over there. He was the guy that made plays, but no one knew what the hell he was doing or what position he played. Where now he goes to Buffalo, and now he's the man. I mean, he's basically the dude.
He made a lot of splash plays. But when you have that much opportunity and you're playing that much, you're gonna make them.
Yes.
Now, and the reason why I think a lot of people get infatuated with Micah Hyde is because some of the plays that he made probably saved the game. I mean, the play that he made against Dallas probably won that game for us. Now, was there a lot of other plays that contributed to it? Yeah, but that was a big one. And those are the moments that stick out. And that's what Micah Hyde did. He made the plays that stuck out. Now, it seemed like at times he was nowhere to be found, or he would blow an assignment and people don't bag on that too much because it didn't happen too often. But when it did, it wasn't a big deal because of the big splash plays that he made. And that's, I think, what do you want? Do you want a guy that's going to make 7, 8, 9 splash plays a season? Or do you want the guy that's going to play consistently well throughout the whole year? And I think Ted knew the writing was on the wall, that they weren't going to be able to come close to an offer that anybody else would be able to make. So why even make it? Especially since, I mean, exit interviews, as far as the Packers go, Micah Hyde was one of the most, he even said, it's a business. He said, I would love to be back here in Green Bay, but I want to play. I want to start. He said it. So like I said, and you said, the whole Treader and Micah Hyde thing came down to the fact that they want to be the guy. They want to be, Micah Hyde wanted to be the Sam Shields in Green Bay. Well, that was never going to happen here. So go to Buffalo, play the Patriots twice a year, get your ass kicked.
Well, all right. That's kind of what we all have for free agency. Hopefully we can have another show in a week or two with a few more signings. So Ted, if you're listening, which I know you are, make sure and do some signings so that me and Blaine have some more stuff to talk about. We did get a tweet actually while we were doing the show from our newest writer for Pack to the Future, Thane. At Track on Pack for Twitter, he asked us, between Nelson, Adams, and Cobb, who do you think will have the best season in 2017 and why? Blaine, I'll let you hit that one.
I'm going to go with good old trusty Jordy. He's been Mr. Consistent. Even after the injury, he had a monster season for the Packers. I think you then put Devontae in a close second there. I think between those two, you're going to have another 20 touchdown year with the two combined, at least probably at least another 2,000 yards. And to be honest, it's a contract year for Devontae, so maybe I should. I'll take that back. I'm going to Devontae. You know,
there you go.
He's looking for money. He's got to follow up a big year with a bigger year, and that's where I'm going to go. I'm going to go to Devontae.
Very smart. I was going to basically say I think that this upcoming year is going to be extremely similar to how last year went when it comes to numbers and
production. I think so.
I think Cobb will be legit. I think he'll still probably be a little overpaid. I think that Nelson will have another fantastic year and continue to get slighted as probably one of the best receivers in the NFL. Numbers don't lie, people. And then Devontae, I think he'll jump Jordy a little bit more in numbers, mostly because I think it's becoming his thing now. I think it's becoming his team in a sense. And then you got to throw contract year there. You always add contract year in it because that's when the players just magically become really good. So.
I see both of those guys with 10 plus touchdowns and 1,000 plus yards. Both of them. Absolutely. So
they will be fantastic.
Take your pick.
Either way, it's going to be a hell of a season. I'm excited about it. But we are not done with shows, people. We will be back. Once April starts, you can expect to see the sweep pretty much once a week. We are going to be coming at you guys with a lot of draft knowledge. If you don't know, I dabble pretty hard in the draft, so I know a lot about a lot. Blaine is right there with me, and we will spit hot fire constantly about the draft, who to draft, who not to draft, who looks good, who doesn't look good. So stay tuned, definitely. We're looking to do some pretty exciting things with our sponsor, Ground Round, especially for the draft. We can't really release all of the details right now, but look forward to that. You can see all of our stuff on the Sweep Facebook page, or you can check us out on the Sweep _PTTF on Twitter. Check out packtothefuture.com. That is our home base where all of our dudes are at. That's where you can find podcasts, articles, videos, anything you need to know about the Packers, and from some different perspectives and some different crazy dudes. There's a lot of fun guys on there. But you guys can always write to us on the Facebook page this week. We love that. We love getting your questions. We love hearing from you guys. It's going to be a heck of a season. You know, off season is off season, but to me, there's never really truly an off season. We're always on, and get ready to be over inundated with draft stuff. I can't wait. The draft is big, and we all know Ted likes the draft, right, Blaine?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah. Draft and develop, baby. Draft and develop, and then potentially let him walk. That seems to be Ted's forte. But I don't know. I mean, I'm excited. I can't wait to keep doing shows. It was good to be back in the mic. Blaine, it was always, it's always good talking with you. Do you got anything, any final thoughts?
Not really. It was great to be back. I've already been doing a little bit of pre-draft stuff, probably a little too much, my wife would say, but you know, it is what it is. She says there's no off season. There's no football off season in this house when it comes to the Packers, and she's 100% correct. Wouldn't have it any other way, baby.
That's why you married her. I mean,
that's right.
That's she a knows. Damn good woman.
She knows.
I put in my vows that she has to not bug me from March to April about draft stuff, because that's all I'm going to do. I'm going to sit and I'm going to stare at draft stuff for hours and hours and hours, because secretly, my life goal is to basically be like Ted Thompson, but maybe with a little bit more, maybe with a little bit more flair and a little bit more character.
How are we friends?
Because you love me and you just can't admit it. But all right, people, that's enough before things get weird. We love you. Thank you for listening. Go Pack, go, and we'll see you soon. You set me free. Just look inside.